This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. And I thought we needed to bring Clay back in today because I have questions that I don't know the answer to, and you probably don't know the answer to. And Clay, he either knows the answer or he's good enough as a Marine to lie about it. And that's really what I need. I just need someone to give me the confidence that I know things, even if I might not. So joining me now, I think I'm just going to start introducing him as an author so people just think he's a huge nerd. Former Green Beret, Marine, Recon, Scout, Sniper, and author, Clay Martin. Clay, all right, we're going to attempt this as dispassionately as possible, especially with all the feelings that have been flowing around recently. We're going to talk military capabilities for a little bit. Israel, they're gearing up for a 300,000+ man incursion, invasion, whatever way you want to put it, south. Now Hezbollah firing rockets from the north. This is not a big country. They're technologically advanced. What are they, Clay? What can they do? What can't they do?
Oh man, this is a tough one. This is a big one. Fighting a two-front war for them with a nation of 7 million people is really tough. Especially when you consider that they've also sent a lot of their munitions to Ukraine, along with our munitions that we stored there for them to Ukraine. So that's not good. They do have very advanced tanks, probably got the third best tanks in the world, and they do produce those at home. So they got a lot going for them there. Israeli Air Force is really very good, very modernized, as long as they have enough bombs.
Okay, as long as they have enough bombs, why wouldn't they have bombs?
Because we sent them to Ukraine.
Ah, that's exactly how I thought you were going to answer that question. What about, and I hate to ask nerd detail questions that sound stupid, but trust me, they're not. How are they doing on artillery munitions?
That's a bad joke. That's really not very funny, Jesse. This is a very serious situation. That's how well they're doing on artillery. We don't really know, and maybe they scrolled some way that we don't know about, but it's a safe bet that they don't have that many. And really the last time they got in a big one, that was, I believe, the Six-Day War back in the 60s or 70s. No, actually, it was later. That was the 80s. is that Ronald Reagan actually authorized some of the NATO stock, like the Russians, to be airlifted out of Germany to come and save them because they were out of munitions by like the fourth or fifth day.
Good grief. Okay. All right, Clay, let's move on to some different things here. There are obviously plenty of rumors and reports. I hate that these reports get out there now, but now that everybody knows that some of the DevGru boys are on their way over there to assist with some things. We have American hostages in a bombed out nightmare of Gaza. Now, for normal, either dumb, regular, very average Marines like me or civilian types, we picture these guys, you know, you got the SEAL Team Sixers and the Delta Force guys parachuting in and grabbing our hostages and rescuing everybody, and everyone gets out alive. Can you describe the difficulty of locating and then extracting someone from a situation like this, no matter what studs we send in there?
Well, you know, it worked in Navy SEALs with Charlie Sheen, so that's just how it
yes.
works.
Yes.
That's right. This is a very real. The locating is not going to be a huge problem because the Israelis have fantastic intelligence in that area. However, what it is very easy to do is, depending on how squirreled up things are right now, start dropping false intelligence hints, which is something that terrorist organizations know how to do. And I'm leading people into traps when they're supposed to be doing HRs, especially if you're trying to go very fast. Like, there's a lot of pressure on you to get them back with maybe less than perfect intelligence. This is actually my very real fear. One, I can't believe that we said we were doing that, like, out loud. Like, I can believe that we did it, but I can't believe that we said it. Like, that's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous. But if they drop those guys into this basically denied area, where there's all kinds of people with machine guns and rockets and crazy stuff, a very real possibility that we're going to lose some of those guys because this is the way things work. You know, we're not immortal. We don't just, you know, shrug off bullets. It doesn't work that way. So I actually have a very great fear that American blood's going to be spilled here, and it wouldn't take much to turn into a Mogadishu-like event either if they don't have good backup. And then we've got a real problem on our hands.
Okay, now let's set that stuff aside. This is why we brought on Clay Martin, author Clay Martin. Now, by the way, I want to encourage everyone to go get Prairie Fire. He has a million great books. We've talked about him before. Prairie Fire just seems uniquely applicable to this time we're in right now, and maybe something that it would be a good idea for you to seriously go buy for yourself and your family. All right, Clay, that's Israel. That's the potential for our guys. Let's discuss Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran. Obviously, it's easy to just dismiss all these guys, a bunch of idiot goat herders with some AK-47s that have 15 rounds in a mag. That's not necessarily accurate. What can these people do? What can't they do? What are they?
Well, it already looks extremely suspicious. They were able to, you know, hack the Iron Dome, some of this other stuff. Those are extremely complicated tasks. As well as actually, you know, flying paragliders with a guy on the front of the machine, that's not something you learn how to do overnight. That got trained up somewhere by somebody that was good. So they're already showing a capability on the terrorist side that we've never really seen before. If you want to take this all the way over to Iran, ooh boy, yeah, wow. That's a large military that is very competent. It hasn't lost anything as far as like being degraded in, 30 years almost? Learned a lot from fighting with Iraq, has a lot of money, and it was very well supported by us for a period of time, and then the Russians and Soviet bloc countries after that. So they're very capable, and a lot of people don't know this, but on our side of the coin, we've mixed it up with some Iranians in the GWAD. It was not that uncommon to run across those guys, especially protecting like very high-level Shia political figures, that type of thing. And they're good. They are talented. They're as good as definitely anybody in the Middle East, and definitely in some ways as capable as the European army. So these are not pushovers.
That is a very sobering reality. I wanted everybody to hear. It's just it's easy to lump all these people in. Oh, they're just a bunch of idiots in mud huts. This is going to be fine. Okay, so who's getting involved in this conflict on Israel's behalf if it's going to be a good old-fashioned spit roast between Hamas and Hezbollah, and Iran is clearly all excited about this? Who exactly is going to be coming to Israel's aid? Anybody?
There's actually two wild cards in the deck here that I think. Obviously, they're going to have maybe U.S. support, but they would take a lot for us to actually get involved. They may very well get Egyptian support, as weird as that sounds, just because the tensions have cooled off between Israel and Egypt a lot in the last 30 years. Now, the wild card in that is it wasn't that long ago, what was it, 2012 or so, that the Muslim Brotherhood actually took over Egypt for a while. You know, there was a coup and they took over. And then like 6 months later, there was a counter coup by the military who kicked the Muslim Brotherhood out of power. But they have a lot of power over there. Muslim Brotherhood basically being the grandfather of Al-Qaeda. They are hardline Islamist, you know, dudes. So Egypt is really weird in that regard. They could actually help out here, or they could end up being an enemy combatant also, which is crazy.
Oh.
Right? It's nuts. The other one that I'm not really sure about is the Jordanians. The Jordanians are very tightly allied with us, have been for a long time, and they're really, on like a political level, not that tense with Israel. Now, what do their people think? That I don't know. I haven't been there in a long time, and it wasn't really a question then. But you could conceivably see, at a great political cost, no less, the Jordanians go to bat for the Israelis, but I kind of doubt it.
Speaking again with author, Green Beret, Marine, Clay Martin. Clay, can you give me some sense of the Iranian intelligence capabilities overseas as far as places like Venezuela, here? What are these people able to do? Is this a capable intelligence service we need to possibly be worried about here? I don't want people to hide under their beds because some nutball jihadi may blow them up this Friday. But I want people to be aware that this is a big boy intelligence network. What can they do? What can't they do?
Well, definitely regionally, at least in the Middle East region, they were easily as talented as we are. Green Berets specifically. They would send little trainer guys out and train up the terrorists, make them actually decent. And I use them to do their fighting with them. It's almost exactly the same, the flip side of us with the IRGC. So then their intelligence services are also very, very talented. They're very good. I don't know how much power they actually hold in most of the Western world, except that they just busted an Iranian spy ring at the Pentagon like a week ago.
Like,
up at the Pentagon.
Okay. Well, let's all say a prayer, and that's exactly why I wanted him to come on. He's our boy, Clay Martin. Everyone knows him by now. His book is Prairie Fire. Go buy all of it, Clay. I appreciate you, my brother.
I thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Look, these are, again, like we opened up the show talking about, these are the sober conversations we need to have, especially when you're emotional. These are the conversations we have to have. All right. Deep breath. What can we do? What can't we do? What might happen here? What can these people do? What can this person I hate, what is he capable of? Not what I want him to be capable of. What is he capable of? You, when you're walking down the sidewalk and that large man is walking your way, do you know what he's capable of? Do you know what you're capable of when it comes to him? If he wants to do you harm, the guy jogging past you on the path, if he wants to do you harm, are you capable of stopping him from doing what he wants to you? You are if you have a hero gun on you or a hero arrow on you. Keep that hero arrow in your pocket, in your little purse, in your little jog bra, wherever it may be. Keep it on you. It's non-lethal. The gun shoots this pepper balls. The arrow shoots this pepper gel, non-lethal, so you don't need a concealed carry permit. It will stop a very bad man from hurting the person you love or you. Go to hero2020.com. Code Jesse gets you a special discount. Hero2020.com. Code Jesse. State restrictions may apply. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. I'm so overwhelmed by all the people we're having on, all the knowledge we're gaining. Aren't you so much more knowledgeable now? I'm so much more knowledgeable now. And remember, this is really important for you and me. It's important to take that knowledge that we've received, the knowledge we will learn tonight, and then tell all your friends about it so you can rub it in their faces how much smarter and more educated you are than they are. That is the point of acquiring wisdom and knowledge, to make the people around you feel stupid. That's how I use it anyway. I'm looking forward to it every chance I get. Look, we have to figure out the who's who and what's what military capabilities are, who can do what. What are people capable of? I mean, my goodness, let's check in on our Air Force.
I want to close by sharing a personal experience that influenced my appreciation for how diversity and inclusion drives better outcomes.
This is from March, by the way, and in case you're wondering, this is the Assistant Secretary of the Air Force.
In my last job, we planned to release a report on aerospace and defense in the year 2050, and I wanted to do it at South...
I'm already bored. He goes on to describe how important diversity is. Two carrier groups heading on over to the Middle East. Are they diverse enough to take on all the powers over there? That priority one? Is our fleet going green? Have we gone green enough? And again, how these people will use this stuff against us. Early intel, this is from the New York Times. This is what the system's already doing. Early intelligence shows Hamas attacks surprised Iranian leaders, U.S. says. And let's pause on this for a minute. Remember, the Biden administration wants an Iran deal. They want to run cover for Iran. The American media, because we have a corrupt system, they work hand in hand, they all work together, they immediately begin running cover for the Biden White House. And the best is when you dig into the article, what does it say? It doesn't say Iran didn't know. It doesn't say they didn't support it. It says key people didn't know. Notice the little language they use? Well, everyone didn't know. So then you run a headline out there that says, well, key people didn't know. What's the point? The point is our evil system is going to use everything, whether it's domestic or foreign, against you. They are. They're not going to back off of that. We have to be aware of it. We have to. I mean, listen. Listen to these people. Listen to the regime in their mouth.
Money was appropriated for the border wall. I tried to get them to reappropriate, to redirect that money. They didn't. They wouldn't. And in the meantime, there's nothing under the law other than they have to use the money for what it was appropriated. I can't stop that.
Who are they? Isn't he in charge of the country?
No, Congress appropriates the funds.
Well, why can't, so he can't get Congress to get that money and use it for something else?
That's the political geniuses and foreign policy experts on The View. All right. But we have more things I want to get to. Dear Jesse, is there a term that shows our country's naive nature and perhaps the West in general more than war crimes, which have been echoed on social media the past few days? I'm horrified by the sites and reports as much as anyone else, but people seem to hide behind the term war crime as if it actually means anything or will stop horrific acts. Are people really this naive? Well, here's the thing. The West should be proud of the freedom-loving nations that came out of, you know, the idea of Western freedom. The people will choose their own government. The people will be free. Western nations, not just ours, we have led that, obviously, but Western nations should be proud of that. But there are parts of that that are frankly laughable. Western nations, yes, they did create these different kinds of civilizations that were more free and more representative. You have more of a voice and I have more of a voice. They did do these things. But in doing this, they pretended that just because their nation had changed, human nature had changed. Human nature does not change, ever. In nations have been ignoring what are classified as, quote, war crimes as long as someone came up with that term. Shoot, I think back to World War I. Everyone knows about World War I and the gassing, right? That's what a lot of people picture when they picture World War I. They're gassing each other. Oh, my gosh, they're dying. You know, there were restrictions on how you could use that. You weren't allowed to do certain things with it. You know what the Germans did to get around it? We're not allowed to shoot it at them. You know what the Germans did? They essentially just put a bunch of canisters, a bunch of pools of chlorine gas, and waited until the wind was blowing in the opposite direction, and they just popped the lid on it. and just let the gas just flow right across? What? I didn't shoot it at anybody. War crimes. This is a term Westerners use to try to speak civilization to people who don't acknowledge our civilization, don't want to be part of our civilization, in fact, want to burn it down. That's a good point, Chris. The only crime is losing. Look, Japan did the same thing in World War II all over the place with all their various, quote, war crimes they committed. Japan didn't care. In their minds, they were fighting for national survival, and they were fighting on an old barbarian samurai code. They didn't care about your stupid international agreements. Ha! Laughable. But yeah, it is true. All right. I want to talk to Brandon Darby about the border, and then I want to talk about America and well, some medical stuff that's coming. We spend twice as much as peer nations on health for worse outcomes. That's the headline. But why is that? Well, because our spending doesn't go to the right places. You know, if I decide I'm going to get in shape and I buy a bunch of fancy workout clothes, but I fail to buy a single weight or a gym membership, well, I spent a bunch of money on working out. I just didn't get in shape. We Americans, we dump all our money on pills and big pharma instead of natural solutions. Natural solutions like chalk. We have natural herbal supplements that can help us the way we want without destroying our bodies and enriching the most despicable people in the world. That's why I talk to you about chalk all the time. Chalk is my first stop, not my last stop, when I want improvement on something. Go to chalk.com and look at all the natural herbal supplements they have. CHOQ.com. Code Jesse gets you 35% off subscriptions. Go get some.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than the championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a
Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. I've missed Brandon. We need an update from Brandon friggin' Darby. Joining me now, Cartel Chronicles, Breitbart, my friend Brandon Darby is going to talk to us about many things out there right now. Let's begin at the beginning, Brandon. The border is now something that people talk about more, mainly because illegals are ending up in Democrat cities. Democrat governors are complaining. Mayors are complaining. This strategy, it doesn't solve the problem of securing the border. Politically, it may raise awareness, but it doesn't solve the problem, though, does it, Brandon?
No, it doesn't solve the problem. But I can tell you, as someone who, even as someone who is very, I try to be very sympathetic to Americans who are affected by people coming here in mass numbers, but I'm also sympathetic to many of the people who come here. I understand why they do, but I don't think that means we can allow them all to stay and to do this, right? So I think that Texas has shouldered a burden, economic burden, a financial burden for many, many years. And I think that these groups who grandstand and they declare themselves sanctuary cities, I think it's absolutely wonderful that they share the burden because they're the ones advocating for the policies that are making this, that are play a part in this happening in the first place. So I think it's great. I think sharing the burden is good for Texas. I think it's probably good for the people who come here even. But I think it makes them put their money where their mouth is. They're learning that these mass numbers of people showing up overwhelm the services you have available for American citizens who are struggling and so forth. So I think it's a good thing that they're doing it, that we're shipping people across to these cities. I think it's great.
Brandon, I do too, and I think anytime you can raise that awareness, it is good, but it doesn't solve the problem of getting them out. I mean, look, if we secured the border tomorrow, we still have millions of people who we do need to remove from the country. And to be honest, it doesn't seem like there's really any stomach for that on the left or the right. Even on the right, the most hardcore thing you can really hear from somebody is, well, let's get the criminals out. But as a nation, we have to remove these people and send them back home, do we not? And how do we do that?
Well, so the way that, and this is the unpleasant reality, the fact of the matter is, it sucks really bad to live a lot of places on this planet. And as long as we allow people to have successful migration attempts, that's what, you know, that's what the UN would call them. That's what CBP would call them, on the upper echelons of CBP, right? As long as we allow successful migration attempts, people who live where it sucks are going to go where it's better. That's what they do. That's what humanity does. This isn't the 1970s anymore with Sally Struthers out there talking about people starving somewhere. People don't do that. People leave. People have decided that they're going to go places where life is better. So as long as we allow it, and by allow it, I mean, even if we say we don't, but ultimately they get to live here, people are going to keep coming in this manner. That is just the reality. So Brent, what would have to happen is we have to stop their ability to come and to stay. That's the primary thing that we need to do. Secondly, we're going to have to stick it to people who provide services, who hire, who make it economically feasible for people to be in our country, and then people will ultimately leave. That's what will happen.
Brandon, I want to touch on something you just mentioned about the Sally Struthers days, and you know, send money, there's a starving kid in Africa, and they leave now. Well, what changed? It wasn't like the Sally Struthers days were the 1600s and all they had was a horse and buggy. There were planes and trains and automobiles back then as well. It's almost as if there are newish organizations facilitating this migration around the globe.
Right. So what changed was a couple of things changed. One thing that changed is is social services and help for people on the lowest rungs increased. Another thing that changed is policies have changed that allowed people to stay and benefit from staying. Another thing that changed is that transnational criminal organizations that used to make their money from drugs and other things realized the economic potential in this mass migration. So it isn't just like the Gulf cartel south of Texas, south of the Rio Grande Valley sector is sitting there and all these people show up and like, well, let's charge them money. No, no, no. The Gulf cartel is actively promoting people to make the journey because they make money from it. So they are actively promoting and encouraging people in places where it sucks to come through their territory. And they said, look, here's what we know where your grandma lives. We know where your dad lives. You're not going to screw us over because we'll kill your grandma. But all you have to do, you don't even have to have any money right now. All you have to do is come with us. We'll get you into the U.S. and you can just pay us twice as much over the next 5 years. And you can just make these payments every 2 weeks from Orlando Veluta or from, you know, what, however we're going to do it. And you can make these payments to us for five years to come. And that's what's going on. It's now profitable for transnational criminal organizations to bring people out of Mexico into Texas, to bring people out of Central America into Mexico and then into Texas, to bring people from Venezuela, to bring people from all across Africa, to bring people from the Horn of Africa, you know, which is a terror hotbed. We were writing about this in 2000, maybe 13, 14, 12 for Breitbart about the UN warning about this, right? The UN Center for Migration Studies warning that this was happening, right? That these criminal groups were making money from this. Well, now, and that these people were coming. Now it's a very profitable business that they're, these criminal groups, like, you know, in our case, transnational criminal groups from Mexico, we call Mexican cartels, right? That these groups from across the world are this is their economic engine now, oftentimes more so than drugs.
Speaking with Brandon Darby, you really should be reading his stuff at Breitbart, The Cartel Chronicles. Brandon, you and I have spoken before on this radio and privately that it's more than just the Mexican cartels. We in America, because that's the one closest to us, we talk about them. But these groups work with each other, and there are very powerful groups in Russia, in Italy, in other places, and they do, on occasion, work with each other with these essentially slave trade lines, correct?
Correct. Absolutely. Absolutely. They often become slave trade lines, yes. So, you know, here's the economic... Look, let's just do the math. Even a lot of religious groups, who I'm sure mean very well within the U.S., right... They have become somewhat economically dependent, right? Their jobs, right? The number of people they hire are economically dependent upon this migration continuing. Like this mass irregular migration, we call illegal immigration, they are economically dependent on this continuing, right? So it's becoming a irregular migration industrial complex, right, in its own. It's becoming something that has the power to perpetuate itself, to help political figures who will perpetuate their needs, right? And that's something that's very bad. That's not a good thing. And whether you're in favor of people coming or want everybody not to come, regardless of your position, you have to, if you're an intellectually honest person, you have to acknowledge that, you know, 75% to 90% of these people's journeys being under the care and tutelage of transnational criminal organizations is not a good thing, right? You have to acknowledge that having young girls leave Guatemala with the expectation of multiple sexual assaults and rapes before they get to the U.S.-Mexico border is not a good thing, right? This is not okay. Regardless of your position, regardless of whether you think the gate should be wider and the whole world should be able to come, regardless if you think no one should come, we have to all acknowledge that the way it's happening is not okay. Yeah. Right? The illicit, irregular, between ports of entry, under the tutelage and control of cartels, you know, this is not okay. And so when we're talking about Mexico, some groups, I think, have crossed the line into being terroristic organizations, but we'll just say cartels. But who are they working with in the Horn of Africa? Who are they working with in Pakistan? Which groups would be criminal groups in Pakistan or Afghanistan? Like, what are those groups tied to, right? So now you have Mexican cartels building alliances and relationships with groups that are ultimately connected to black market groups in Afghanistan. Who would that be, right? In the Horn of Africa, in Somalia, who would that be? Now, do you see the dangers that come from this?
Yeah, yeah. Brandon, I wish I'd keep you forever, my man. I appreciate you making us smarter once again.
Thanks, bro.
This is exactly why I wanted to do this show like this today, which is rare, obviously, for us. You know, I don't hardly do guests at all. That's why we chose to do a show like this today. Differing perspectives about different issues out there. Huge things going on that we all kind of need to... Well, I kind of need to stay boned up on. Look, that's all
part of... changing people's lives.
It's just part of what we do. But, Chris, it is true. It's part of what we do. You know what else is what we do? We make preparations. We don't just sit and hope. Obviously, we want to hope. But we make preparations. Have you made preparations for rocky times? I'm not talking about drastic things, although drastic things are fun. Bunkers and such. Have you bought food? No, I don't mean your normal grocery run with your bacon and eggs and hopefully some orange juice in there. Have you bought an emergency food kit, a non-perishable emergency food kit that doesn't require power to stay good, that will keep you and your family alive for a long time? Most people have not. You should have 3 months of food in your home. Everyone can live on if the lights go out. Go to preparewithjessekelly.com. What you're going to see there is my Patriot Supply emergency 3 month food kits, 25% off, prepped, ready to go. Make preparations. Preparewithjessekelly.com. Go now. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Don't forget, tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday, and you need to get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Running Against the Wind from Bob Seger. That's a great... Seger is so good. What, Chris? That song is always spoken. Well, not always. Probably in the last 4 or 5 years, that song has taken on new meaning for me, Running Against the Wind. Because that's what it's like working with you, Chris. What? That's funny. What is your problem? Oh, did I tell you? This is great. I love... It's... You just can't beat being a father. The wonderful moments you get to have with your sons. This is a moment I had today with my sons. I told them as I'm leaving the house for work, I said, hey, I've got to leave. I got to back out of the driveway. I got to back out of the garage. As soon as I back out, I want you to take out all the trash and everything, get the garage all cleaned out, get the stuff set out for everything. And I said, okay, Dad, okay. And I get in and I back out. And as soon as they get out in the garage and they get handfuls of boxes and they start walking towards the door, I reached up, beep, closed the garage door on. The last I saw as I was driving away laughing hysterically was them just staring at me as the door closed in front of them with the boxes closed. You can't beat those father-son moments. All right, quit. Focus. U.S. spends twice what peer nations spend on health for worse outcomes. We've talked about this many times before. A lot of this goes back to Obamacare. You can see all the numbers. Average American family before Obamacare spending $2,000-$3,000 a year for insurance. Now that number's over $20,000 a year. That's a big part of it. But this gangster government system we have, what it's done is it's taken a health system and it's turned it into an insurance system and a pill system. That is not a health system. And there's still something I'll never get over. I want to get to some emails and some other things, so I'll never get over this, but I'm going to move on. But there's something I'm just floored by it. It's unreal. Remember coronavirus got here And very, very, very early, this is not late. This isn't something that came out from a late study. Very early, doctors, nurses, hospitals, medical professionals who were seeing COVID patients were saying, the ones who were getting censored were saying, these people, anyone who's not old and infirm, it was a disease that really attacked the old and infirm, any younger person who really got it really, really bad was obese. If you were fat, COVID was a danger to you in ways it wasn't to anyone else. And yet not a single major medical institution in this country from government or others told everybody, get out and go for a walk and lose some weight. Not one major health institution in this country issued guidance for people to work out more. In fact, in this country, they closed the gym and told you to go home and watch Netflix for a disease that hurt fat people. We spend twice what peer nations spend on health because we don't have a health system. We have an insurance scam. We have a pill scam. We don't have a system where we're trying to actually get people healthy and keep people healthy. That's a problem. And it's a major problem. All right, we're going to get to some emails. Before I do that, your pillow's a problem. You don't think it is. You don't want it to be. You want to be proud of your pillow. And I understand that. I understand the tug to be a proud pillow person. But how could you be proud of a pillow that isn't a MyPillow 2.0? Look, if you have an inferior garbage pillow you bought from some big box store, you don't have to cover it up. You don't have to feel shame. Now's the time to pay for your sins. Go to MyPillow.com because MyPillow 2.0, that's what I was trying to say, they have a huge sale on them. Right now, they're $79.98 normally. Right now, they're $39.99 with the promo code Jesse. $79.98 for a queen size normally. Right now, $39.99. A king size is just 10 bucks more. The MyPillow 2.0, same great MyPillow, only the thread is temperature regulating. No more sweaty ear. MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special square and use the promo code Jesse or call 800-845-0544. Jesse. How many wars will the U.S. involve themselves and our tax dollars in under this administration? Is there a limit, do you think? It feels insane to me. Where does it end? There is no end. When you're dealing with people, this is something we brought up a lot, but remember, they're not mindful of America the way you are. And that's what puts you in such a bind as a nation. When you are led, I wish I could think of the name of it. You know Lee Smith? Lee Smith, I've had him on the show before. We're going to have him on as a guest again next week. Lee Smith, he writes for a bunch of different magazines. I forget the title of this article, so you're going to have to go look it up. But he wrote a fascinating article about the similarities of America and Athens back in the day. And essentially, the leaders of Athens, the leaders of this nation, as they were at war, had sold out their own country to their enemy. And he describes how it put them in an impossible situation. When your leaders hate the nation and sell it out, there's just precious little you can do. There's no end to the amount of crap these people will get us involved in. It's never them dying. It's never their kids dying. They're not stressed about a collapsing dollar. There's no end to it. All right. Daniel Turner, speaking of no end, there's an oil energy aspect to everything going on right now, and one we need to discuss and one we need to make preparations for. He has some basic things he thinks we should be doing, and we're going to talk to him next.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.